Hi, I'm Colleen Brennan.
And I'm Janice Rodriguez.
And this is Defending Indiana. Key Club International Director Greg Stowers joins us today to discuss brain drain and keeping young people in Indiana. Hey, Janice, how's it going today?
It's going well. I mean, the sun is shining, so I shall not complain, at least until later. I'm going to hold the complaints for at least an hour.
Can you wait that long?
I know, it's hard. I think I've complained three times already this morning and realized nobody still cares.
That's all okay. So we have sort of an interesting conversation coming up today and a terrific guest. But the first question I want to ask you to sort of lead into this is, when did you move out of Indiana?
I was going to say something smart, but let's not.
You can.
I was going to say not soon enough. JK, love you guys. Listen, again, we're honest about the love hate.
We are.
We are honest. No, I'm not. I really strongly appreciate my upbringing in Indiana, particularly Northwest Indiana. It shaped who I am today. So kudos. But yeah, I left like the state. I mean, I guess technically a couple months after I graduated college, when I got my first apartment in Chicago, a whole whopping 45 minutes away.
Right.
But isn't it just far enough away though?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's the closest, farthest move you could make. Cause you know, your parents aren't trying to drive and find parking. Like, my mom was like, cool, come see me. Like she's not trying to come. Like she hasn't been trying to come since like 2001. It's true though.
Yeah. For us, it was always easier to just go back and see my parents where they lived because summers in my hometown were
like amazing,
really great. And yeah. And I'm going to go on a limb here and say probably better than Chicago summers, but that's just because I'm from there.
It's just different and it's so close. It seems very like, to me, it's always like that whole Michiana shoreline is very like Cape Cod like. And it's just like a different kind of like vibe.
Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know if I'd go all out Kennedy on it.
But, let me have my dreams. I didn't go all Great Gardens on it. I went like Kennedy.
Little Edie. I don't know. We didn't have, what's the Indiana version of Little Edie? maybe that's something I can aspire to.
Yes. You're already the rich white lady from the previous episode. Let's keep these characters going.
Okay.
That's weird. That's like a weird fantasy of mine. Like it was very much. And also I'm not old enough for the Kennedys. I don't know why that's my reference point, but it makes me think of that. Cause I think of like rich families just, you know, playing croquet on the front lawn.
Yeah.
People serve them iced tea. It was really
hard to get to the driveway. Cause we were always tripping over the croquet.
Right. Exactly.
But
it's fine enough, but it's really hard to find good help these days. Pick up this croquet set. Get the polo ready.
Can't tell you how many times I twisted my ankle on that red ball.
I was supposed to just get the polo ready. Like, what does that mean? Like the horses and stuff. I don't know.
Definitely
anyway, okay. Polo match. We're coming back. Go ahead.
So you moved. You moved out right after graduation. You went straight to Chicago.
Yeah, a couple months. I spent like, look at me again. Spent the summer in Europe. What?
Nice.
Hey, it was summer 2000, living my best life. And did I go to Puerto Rico that summer too? Yeah. Because I was just trying to, like I knew when I started working, like the day you go to that full-time job, you're like, your soul just dies a little, you know?
Little.
So I tried just a little. It's fine. We're good. We're living. We're breathing here. While I'm hiding under the desk.
Right.
Yeah. So I traveled a little bit and then it was like reluctantly got my like first job and did the whole like, now I got to live downtown, you know? So,
was how much of the draw to Chicago was a specific job that you were interested in or in a field you were interested in? And how much of it was, I have to get away.
Even if it's 45 minutes.
Which you could walk.
Right. Well, I went to IU. I was a business grad, but like the concentration in marketing. So you don't have like a marketing major. So I was going to definitely go the old school, because this is still like 2000. This is when things are changing. So I was going to go like the old school advertising agency route. Well, if you're not going to New York, right, Madison Avenue,
yeah,
you're going to Chicago. You got Leo Burnett.
Yeah.
Every agency in New York has agency and office in Chicago.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where I thought my life was going. So I was like, duh, double win. I'm close enough to home to kind of, you know, a lot of my friends were going. It's kind of like a lot of people from IU like end up in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it was just like all like a nice, easy transition, but still far enough away. So my mom wouldn't just pop over. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I get it.
Sorry, mom. She's going to be like, I need to pop over.
Sorry.
I love you.
yeah. So I graduated from college and I stayed in my hometown for a semester to earn extra money. Mm-hmm. And then I went to grad school at Purdue. And then my husband now, who was my boyfriend back then.
I love it. I just love like saying boyfriend.
Boyfriend. It's just fun saying it that way. Yeah. I don't, you know, it's okay. It's creepy, but I'll stop. he lived up in Michigan for a little while and then he got transferred to Indianapolis. So that worked out really well for me because I was in West Lafayette and he was in Indy and I was only like an hour away. Yeah. So I actually kind of lived my last year of grad school in Indianapolis with my husband. And then we got married and I lived the first year of our marriage in Indianapolis in Broad Ripple, which was a really great neighborhood to live in. And then we moved to Chicago.
That was it.
So I was, you know, I was 25, 26. I got married real young. We moved because Chicago felt more like home than Indianapolis did. And there were more opportunities. I hate saying this, Indiana. I'm sorry, but it was a while ago. But there were more opportunities in Chicago for both of us and for what we wanted to do than there were in Indiana. I also had a non-compete with where I was working at that time. And the non-compete made it really difficult for me to get another job in the geographical region that I wanted to work in Indianapolis. So, boom, up north, back home again to Chicago.
So, but I mean, obviously it's a much different life. I mean, obviously you can do the Chicago suburbs all day, but you live in the city. Like I live in the city.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Was that like an adjustment or did you feel like Long Beach was like close enough?
So, you know, when we lived in Indianapolis, we lived in, you know, I mean, the neighborhood was very similar to the neighborhood I live in right now in Chicago. Okay. Right. We could walk everywhere we needed to go. Great restaurants, great concert, comedy.
What's a concert? What is a concert? I'm sorry.
What is a concert? Yeah. Janice, about a year ago, we used to do this crazy thing where we gathered in large groups.
What? Tell me more.
We listened to music.
Together.
We yelled out of our big mouths. Each other,
sang along, held hands with strangers.
We spewed.
Various respiratory droplets everywhere with reckless abandon, colleagues.
Basically, the concert was essentially an aerosol convention. Right. It was a human aerosol convention.
TB, why TB? I'm going old school. TB, flu, common cold.
And it was a lot
bad
of fun.
Bad breath. Yeah, these were good times.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Alcohol anyway. Breath. Yeah, stop smoking, dude.
Yeah.
It's real bad for you. Okay, sorry. Go back. So comedy, anyway, concerts, comedy. It had everything you wanted.
It had everything we wanted. So moving to Chicago was just sort of where... There were for our industries, there were more opportunities. Like I said, I had a non-compete at work. I also knew that I wanted to get back into acting, try to get back into singing or music or something. And it didn't feel like those opportunities were in Indianapolis. It felt like I was going to have a greater chance in Chicago. And it is because in Chicago, you know, advertising, right? So they were filming commercials in Chicago. They were doing industrials in Chicago. So that at the time didn't really exist in Indiana. So that was, you know, where we went.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you weren't like itching, you're like, I got to get out of this place. It wasn't anything like that. I mean, except for the, I mean, I could say for me, at least to the point of, because it just sounds funny because Northwest Indiana is like a Chicago suburb. So, yeah. But it's just different enough, right? Just the ability to go grab a Turkish coffee. Like, yeah. It's not in Hammond. It's just like random stuff like that. It's just a little right. bit more towards the lifestyle I wanted to lead. See, I always wanted to go to New York. Like,
yeah.
I'm like an urban city.
Yes.
I don't like, there's 30 people like upstairs pounding. I love it. Yeah. Sorry. I thought I'd grow out of it by now, but again, my husband and I love it. We love city life. It's not for everybody. And I get some people come down and they're like, what is this noise? And they're like, mm-hmm. I can't handle it, but mm-hmm. I love it. So it was just like Hammond cranked up to like 11. It's a Spinal Tap reference, guys. It goes up to 11. So yeah, that's to me, and just a little bit more, even a little bit more culture, a little bit more, mm-hmm. just everything, just something yeah. you get in a big city.
Yeah. I needed bigger. Mm-hmm. I will say this, if we were going to move out of the city, and it really wasn't an option. I mean, there are times when Chicago feels too small, right?
This is true.
And so, you know, I'd considered, you know, I'm like, people are like, where do you want to retire? I'm like, NYC, drop me
in. Right, this is what I'm saying. You're like, what? How are you going to sit up?
I know.
Right in the middle of Brooklyn. I'll just find my aunts and uncles will be good. Like,
it'll be fine. We'll be love fine. It.
We're good. Yeah.
But a suburb of Chicago was never an option for me. If I was going to go that route, I would have moved back to Indiana.
Indiana. That's what I said. That's exactly. So when we were looking for our home and like the thought came up and I was like, we can save money. Da, da, da. Like, what are we doing that's here? And we both quickly shook out of that just because, again, just those intangible, they're very tangible. But for me, it wasn't job or whatever. It's just those lifestyle things, you know what I mean? Yeah. That are very important to us. Yeah. But that's what we said too. I was like, for that much, like the only places we would have considered would have been like Oak Park or like Evanston. Again, as long as you're on the CTA. But if we were going out for any reason, I would have just gone to Indiana.
Yeah. It would have been a no-brainer. And now they've got, so we do, at this point, we do consider, you know, what's going to happen when the kids are out of the house and where are we going to go? Are we going to stay in Chicago? Are we going to, again, because where I grew up in Indiana was really beautiful. Do we want to try to sort of share time between those two spaces? We haven't really made any decisions yet, but the decision was never, where else in Illinois am I going to move?
Gotcha.
The draw to Illinois mm-hmm. and the draw was literally just urban, big city. Yeah. And it was bigger than Indianapolis and it had more of what I needed. So that was why I left. Now you had talked about earlier before we got on that, you know, is part of the need to leave your home state because you just want to get the hell out and go see more of the world.
Yeah.
That's also part of it too. But I felt like I got that in a big city and I wasn't going to get that in a smaller place.
Sure. Like I felt like I didn't have to move. And I did. I lived in Florida for 10 years. So I did do that. But again, that wasn't even because you know what? That's not true. I kind of was like, let me try somewhere else because I've been in the Midwest my whole life. And then I realized, there's a reason why I've been in the Midwest my whole life. I do not belong south of the Mason-Dixon line, guys. Not for me. Just going to go out there and put on a limb. And Florida is a whole other thing. I could do a whole episode. I could do a whole series on Florida. I lived there for 10 years. I have clout. I'm allowed to talk. But so that little feeling drove me to Florida for those 10 years, almost 10 years of just like, hey, I feel like I'm once, cause I already knew I was like, I'm putting so many roots. I already have the familial roots. Mm-hmm. I got friends. I got everything. I'm like, if I don't leave now, I don't think I'll ever live anywhere else. And the mm-hmm. opportunity came up and that's kind of where that all went. But I always thought I'd end up here, but I'm still bummed. I still have the New York thing in my mind. I will live there at some point, even if it's for a summer.
Let's be roommates.
Can we? I like sleep on bunk beds. I look at these places all the time and it's like, the apartment's the size of my desk. And I'm like, looks like heaven. Like,
I'm sure I could IKEA hack that space.
Right. Yeah. They have these micro, really look into it. They have these micro apartments and like, it's very dorm room-esque and you share the bathroom. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Isn't it?
It's like the old times.
The older I get, the more I regress to childhood.
Right. And some people are listening and they're like, that sounds like my personal hell.
Right.
And I'm like, you got a hot plate? This is great. Like, I just love it. Like,
we're not living in the apartment. We're living in the city.
Right.
That's my living room. People would say to me when they were like, are you ever moving to the suburbs? I'm like, no. And then somebody said, it's because the city is your living room. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Isn't that funny though? Because there is certain things in city living, like if you have a balcony or not, like that just changes the whole, like we were talking about this. Like, yeah. Wait, you got space? You got an outdoor space?
Right. Like, it's so much.
Oh, I guess you're bougie now. Hey, you got a deck? What? Like, it's just people in the rooftop, forget it. Rooftop, you're at the top of the world. Like, yeah. You're upper echelon in Chicago society if you have access to a rooftop deck, let me tell you. So
that's some pit bull stuff right there.
Right, right. And there's like hot Latin men dancing. There's strobe lights. I'm there. Where is that party? I see. This is what I'm saying. I feel like it could happen tonight and I'm here for it. There was something else I wanted to bring up. I mean, I think we have to do research. I like how we bring things up and we never circle back. We just don't have the like stats. So my other thing was also just, I had written down tri-state, good English, just tri-state, brain drain.
Yeah.
Because like obviously Indiana, it's several markets, like Northwest Indiana, crossover to Chicago, and you have your, I guess, Michiana, if you're doing like St. Joseph's, and then by Fort Wayne. Look at me, I'm trying to think of the four corners of the state.
And I love, nobody can see this, but you're
I know, but I'm like doing it. I'm like, this is the state. No, so I just don't know, how do they count that? Like, do they count that as like, because obviously I know you like, depends on the state, they have the tax stuff, fine.
Yeah.
But so then, you know, how do Indiana to consider that, oh, you're working somewhere else, but is it more important that you live there? Because you live there, you're paying taxes there, you're part of the community there. So kind of at that point, does it matter where you work? Which then turns into this whole thing that just happened this past year. You have all these people who are going to stay remote.
Right.
I mean, you have people leaving the big cities. You had all this like huge like exodus from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And now Twitter's like, just stay where you are. Like, you're not, like, we're not opening at least until 2022, 2023. Right. And even then, they realized they could pull it off. So, why does everybody have to live in San Francisco area and pay $5,000 a month for 300 square feet?
Right.
I mean, so it's just the whole, actually, this coronavirus like flipped all that on its head, and people are more comfortable working from home, maybe some of them people. But then it's like, why couldn't they work for a company in New York and stay in Schererville?
Right. And I think that's going to be really interesting because so this episode is about brain drain, you know, and specifically Indiana brain drain, right? Because we're two examples of people who used to live in Indiana, and we both have a lot of friends that we grew up with. I'm assuming you have a lot of friends because you're a very friendly person.
Are you my real friend? Let's see. Yes.
Who also did not stay in Indiana. However, I do have friends who did stay in Indiana. So, I'm going to do this, Janice. I'm just going to throw out something that's loosely based on a fact. So I would very loosely.
Fact schmacks.
The politicians have been doing it for years.
Yeah. Now it's our turn.
Factchecker.org wants to do it. Great. Right. That'll make my job easier. But,
thank you.
I would say probably about 50% of my friends moved and 50% of my friends stayed, which is consistent with the actual research, bringing it back, that I did do. I know. There was a study out of the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University.
That's where I went.
Go, Janice. And their study found that with Indiana colleges and Indiana residents who went to Indiana colleges, because at some point we'll do an episode on colleges in Indiana, in Indiana. This happens to me every once in a while. The mouse stops working. And what they found was that like right after graduation, 66% of the people stayed in Indiana. And then 3 years later, it was down to about 50 to 50%. And for those who stayed, they found that those with legal degrees or any degree in the field of law, over 70% of those Indiana residents who went to school in Indiana stayed. But the least likely to stay were those who had degrees in transportation, philosophy, and engineering, right? Well, they thought so hard about it that they left, I guess.
Apparently it's not a big market for Hoosier philosophers.
Right. Which is unfortunate. but engineering was one of the top least likely to stay, which I thought was fascinating. Yeah, engineering.
Oh, I heard that wrong. I thought you said they were the most likely.
No, engineering was one of the least likely to stay.
Transportation. So many jobs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would imagine. There's only so many jobs in that field. So, but right. I mean, then that's a problem, right? You're getting educated here and then you leave. So in a way, sorry, I'm getting all weird. I know we got to wrap up, but I'm getting all weird. I just always try to think of like the other side of this. Our tax dollars are like going to these public institutions, right? Like, so right. Purdue has a great engineering school, but it's like long-term, that's probably bad for us. If we're like educating them, then they're like, peace out. Like,
right. And what does it mean that other states, you know, because Illinois actually has, I know the University of Illinois has the same problem. What does it say that people are coming to the Midwest and to, you know, Indiana specifically for these great educations at these well-renowned universities and colleges that we have here? And then just bye-bye, leave it. Like, we're not only not retaining our own talent, but we're not retaining the people who came to be educated by our talent.
There you go.
So it'll be interesting. All right. Well, I guess we can talk more about this with our guest today.
Let's do it.
Greg Stowers is our guest today. He is the director, the international director at the Key Club. He is the executive director for Hashtag Lunchbag. I hear rumors that he's a great DJ as well. all around great Hoosier resident. We welcome you, Greg Stowers.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So on the executive director for Hashtag Lunchbag front, just want to do a slight correction. So Hashtag Lunchbag Indie is a part of a larger group called Hashtag Lunchbag. And I was just lucky enough to be privileged to bring it to Indie. So still certainly with the organization, but just want to make that small caveat to that. But no, thank you so much. Really, really happy to be here. A good friend, a good mutual friend put us in touch, and certainly looking forward to the conversation.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Our good mutual friend is Christina Hale. And Greg, I think a couple things that I want to have you tell us, because you're going to do a better job than I am. Tell us a little bit about your background, your history in Indiana and professionally what you've been doing, because you've been doing some really impressive things. And I only listed the two most recent things. There are other things in there that I read about you because I've been stalking you. Yeah. I stalk all our guests.
Yeah, we go deep in the Google searches, okay?
Right.
It's all socially distant, so you're safe. But but I'd like to hear a little bit more about, you know, what you've been doing for the past several years and what brought you to where you are today professionally.
For sure, for sure. So I am an Indianapolis resident, born and raised. My mother grew up on the north side. My father grew up in Hallville. So from the jump, I had a very interesting dynamic from a family standpoint, but also just from a social standpoint, as those are very different areas of Indianapolis. Yeah. As my dad would say, he grew up really fast in Hallville. So from the jump, like, I was just always kind of this kid that was in the middle of everything, from a family standpoint, from just a social standpoint, all that. I ended up attending and graduating from North Central High School, which is one of the largest high schools in Indiana. And there, again, just sort of this middle ground space where, you know, there would be weekends where I'd be at the I'd be out on Geist, you know, on the boat. And the very next weekend, I'd be at a house party, not really a house party, but like an apartment party, wearing like a tall tee and like Jordans and oversized jeans, because no one dressed well in the 2000s. So it was always this, it was always this kind of interesting dynamic of me just kind of being in the middle of a lot of different spaces. Graduated from Indiana State University. Was that 10 years ago? not to age myself, but and majored in political science there. And then, like you said, I mean, I've worked in a number of different spaces. So currently working for Kiwanis International as Key Club International Director, or I work with, you know, around 230,000 high school kids around the globe. So lots of different perspectives at any given time. Before that, I was at Leadership Indianapolis, where I also worked with Christina, managing programs for young people in the city of Minneapolis. And then really on the side is just where a lot of my work comes in from a community standpoint. And I think community is just incredibly important. Understanding that community isn't just geographic. It touches a variety of different spaces. Always doing a lot. My mother told me when I was younger to live a big life. So I'll try to do that in my own small way.
That's amazing. You sound busy.
Just a little busy.
Put it in like at least a couple times a day. Breathe. I used to have to do that when I was like, when I had my business and like 10 side projects, I literally was like, get up from your desk, and it would like pop up. Just remember that. Take care of yourself too. But that's great. I remember Key Club in high school.
Yes, there we
go. I unfortunately was not a member because I don't know why. So I probably shouldn't share. But I knew many people were. It was always really great to be involved. I mean, we had to do fundraising stuff for some of the other organizations I was in. But tell me more about that. I mean, this. So you're the international. Like, so the headquarters is in Indiana?
The headquarters is in Indiana.
Wow.
Somehow we got it. It is an incredibly unique role. And I say that from a standpoint of some of the challenges, but also some of the really great opportunities that I've been afforded as a result of that. But, I get the opportunity to work with young people, and help shape them, in a sense. I mean, we do a number of, I think when you think about Key Club, it's like that one club in your high school, but I mean, there are more than 5,000 clubs around the world. We are in 38 countries now. I've been able to visit a number of these countries and present to a number of different people and different cultures, different spaces. But I mean, it's really the kids for me. We certainly have to deal with adults too. And that can be a challenge at times, but I know that their hearts are always in a good place. Really trying to help shape young people. But yeah, I've got 230,000 kids. I work directly with a board of students who are from around America, who are just, incredibly talented, incredibly intelligent, stubborn at times, but certainly intelligent and leaders in their own right, in a major way.
I wanted to ask you before I forget. Sorry, Colleen. I just thought about this. What happened then with Rona? That's what I call Corona. Like in terms of this past year of school wasn't in, were you guys still able to like activate or like change what you're doing, or did you have to kind of stop?
Yeah. So we shifted a lot of our process. We do meetings. If you think about Kiwanis, we do meetings very well. You've got a great department that oversees that, but when you can't meet, you've got to shift those processes. So we typically do a convention every summer where we have upwards of 1,000 people attend. All that shifted online. I became a Zoom guru. still struggling. It's not a meeting unless I have to unmute my microphone. But shifting all those processes online was interesting. I think we've done a pretty good job managing that. But now it's like, we sit on all these Zoom calls all day. So how are you engaging? How are you making sure that it's an efficient and effective use of people's time? So that's really the challenge now after, a year into this. When you're working with young people, they already know all this stuff. This isn't anything new for them. Their transition was really simple. It's really just been the more seasoned, I don't call people old, I call them seasoned, getting the seasoned people on board with everything. And that's been sort of a challenge with the kids. I mean, they are locked in. It wasn't a hard transition for them at all.
Okay. That's great.
That is good. It's nice that somebody transitioned better than some of us seasoned.
Y'all can take that. Y'all can take the season piece.
I may have to use it from now on.
Teach me, how to, like, keeps me out of trouble too.
I think I'm herbed. I have some herbs, but I'm not quite seasoned yet. I'm right, like in the middle. I have a light marinade. How about that? Can right. I need something in the
light,
middle?
I love it.
I think I'm a little more seasoned, but I'm going to take as many
pies. That's not you, Colleen. That's not you.
I'm just a cleverly disguised adult. Right? There we That's go. All I am. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, okay. So one of the things that we really wanted to get your perspective on today was this idea of brain drain. In Indiana. Denise and I just spent about 20 minutes talking about, you know, our personal stories, why we left Indiana, because we don't live in Indiana anymore. Both of us live in Chicago. However, we still love the state. And it just it wasn't providing us with exactly what we were looking for at a time when we were young, you know. Mm-hmm. So we were both, you know, in our 20s when we left. So let me first say, what do you say to young people? Because you have a chance to talk to obviously lots of young people. What do you say to them to convince them to either stay in Indiana, or if they've left and they're still in college, to come back to Indiana?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I can frame, because I mean, I saw this after college with a number of friends that left, and I still see it with a number of the conversations that I have with friends about Indiana, because unfortunately there is a bit of a stigma from a national perspective on Indiana. I think, you know, when you see the news, sometimes it doesn't necessarily paint us in the best light. But as a person that has grown up here, lived here, created a life here, it really goes back to that idea of community. You know, Indianapolis, you know, I would say is the biggest, smallest town in the world. You know, if you want to get involved, if you want to make an impact, you can do that relatively easily. I mean, you're two phone calls away from someone that, you know, can certainly, you know, make a huge impact. And, you know, I've been lucky to build a network here, to work in a number of different spaces that certainly provided that aspect for me, that community aspect, that the idea that if I want to get a coffee with, you know, a vice president of a company, you know, I may have to go through two or three emails, but I'll get there. And people tend to want to help. You know, we certainly have that Midwestern nice, which is certainly interesting. I mean, we're people in Indiana are the kind of people where it's like, you know, we'll buy something, but talk about how much of a deal we got on it every time. I mean, that is what we do. It's true. But this idea of people legitimately wanting to help people succeed is something that I've seen, something that I do even in my short time on this earth. I certainly want to make sure that I'm networking across and also reaching down to help others achieve in any sort of way.
So one of the interesting things I discovered while I was stalking you online was that you've spent time. I read that you spent time in 2016 traveling around the state of Indiana, mm-hmm. and getting to get some perspective on rural versus urban. And I'm going to just take a slight side step here. When we talked to a couple of our guests, particularly Angelo Pizzo, we were talking about how Indiana is this blue dotted state versus red mm-hmm. area. Right. And right now, I think when we think about brain drain, one of the things we think about are the rural areas. We think about how it's difficult to retain residents in those areas. People are more driven to the cities, more driven to go to where the jobs are. So I'm interested in your perspective, because you've had a chance to travel around and really get to understand this issue probably more than Janice and I, which is a lot, but that's why you're here.
As a part of a campaign I worked on in 2016, I think we probably did around 60 to 70,000 miles around the state of Indiana. And I mean, that piece about, you know, the younger people moving to Indianapolis, that's real. You know, but then there are these little pockets where you see population growth, like in a Jasper, Indiana or something like that, where it's just like, you know, people are staying, but there are jobs there for people to do. So I think it's certainly a brain drain from these small, smaller cities, but also an opportunity drain. I mean, if you don't have opportunities, it's tough for specifically younger people to want to stay in a place. I mean, it was, you know, I'd wake up some days in Evansville and in the night in Gary. And I mean, it was a fantastic experience learning about, you know, some of the issues that were facing, you know, people around the state. But it's just opportunity. I mean, that is the biggest thing, even in Indianapolis. I mean, as much as we talk about this as a liberal bastion where there's just so much opportunity, if you were to go to the east side, the far east side of Indianapolis, which is probably up on this map somewhere, you know, that you would have that same conversation. So again, I think it's about just creating that community of opportunity and that community of people that certainly want to help others.
Because people have to work, right? And people tend to want to live where they work. And that's like, actually, Colleen and I just brought this up. I don't know if you have any insight to offer, like, in regards to everything that just happened this past year, where people, a lot of companies are like, hey, you could stay at home now. And they're still trying to figure out, are we going to hybrid? Is Indiana, like, or anybody you're talking to, looking at that as an opportunity to try to, like, get people to Indiana because then they could work wherever, because they're working remote anyway? Because I've seen this in, like, Texas, and I've seen, like, certain communities that are, like, offering incentives and things like that, like, to move to, like, Oklahoma, like, the most kind of, not, right, Oklahoma's right. Not random, but you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, a very specific town. It wasn't even Oklahoma City. I don't know if you've seen this, but I just thought about that. I was like, why isn't Indiana not doing that? Like,
I think we're certainly taking some steps. I know the city of Indianapolis is certainly working towards that. And in terms of what that looks like from a robust standpoint, I can't really speak to that, but I've certainly heard those rumblings about, you know, bringing in people that, you know, you may not have to work here, will live here, but you can certainly work, you know, in a headquarters space here. I mean, even at Kiwanis, I mean, we're headquartered here, but I've probably been in the office 5 or 6 times over the past year. And when you think about these brick and mortar places, I think we've seen over the last year that's changed. Right. You know, I'm certainly wearing a polo shirt right now, but I've got basketball shorts on and it just works. but you know, this
works for me. Like, I'm okay with this.
This works. Just in case I need to pick up a basketball, you know, I'm ready to go.
in the middle of a Zoom meeting. Right.
But it's just changed. And, you know, I think young people are certainly more apt to those transitions a little better than older seasoned folks. I think, you know, from a standpoint of government or corporations and businesses, we've got to understand that things have changed in terms of what normal is going to look like getting back to normal. I don't know what that means. I mean, because this is very normal to me right now. Again,
what does downtown Indianapolis look like? I mean, like if you go downtown Chicago, it's like a ghost town.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, wait, what are we gonna do with all these built? Like, what? I mean, it's scary, but it's also fascinating. Like, I'm interested to see what's next. It's kind of like the decline of the mall. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, where does that go as we move into this, like, tech forward space? But I think there might be a backlash too. I think people are like, I don't want to also work at home. Like, I'm just curious to see what's going to happen.
Right.
It'll be interesting. I mean, one of the draws that Janice and I were talking about earlier with Chicago is that the reason we live here is because it's exciting. There's stuff to do.
right.
Hopefully it's diverse. You know, we can stretch and try things personally that we probably wouldn't have had a chance to do if we had stayed in the towns where we came from in Indiana. But I don't know if that's an Indiana specific issue, right? I mean, that's an issue that happens all over.
I mean, you think about a town like Chicago. I mean, there's not a lot of comparable cities like Chicago. I mean, I had a number of friends from either high school or college go to Chicago right after wrapping up undergrad. Now, I will say a lot of them have moved back, which is very interesting to start families and whatnot. And, you know, you're paying, you know, a mortgage that's maybe $1,250 here, but you're paying $3,000 in rent in downtown Chicago. So, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, that was the killer, leaving Indianapolis. So we lived in Indianapolis for 2 years and real estate.
You're like, my expenses have quadrupled.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
My space is so small.
No, again, I think states like Indiana and, I mean, like, they should be capitalizing off that. Cause I think I just see that coming where it's like, live from anywhere. And I think if you could just I think, I don't know. I've always thought like entertainment and restaurants to me were always the thing that would have like, that keep people where they're going. Like, I think more the cultural part. Cause I think people are willing to drive a little bit for work.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, and they want to live where they eat and get entertained. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm wrong on that. I need to talk to like an urban planner, but yeah, there's a, but I do. Yeah. I think it's all interesting. Cause like we've all been educated in Indiana and two of the three left. But I do also know that other story, Greg, like you were saying, people who've left and then come back, because it is tough living in a city. It's like a whole different thing. And then you start looking at the money and you're like, ooh,
right.
Like my dollar will stretch a lot further. And then now again, if you got an employer who might let you work from home, why be there? You move there to have the shorter commute, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So what are the challenges then that you guys face as executives in Indiana who obviously want more of your peers to stick around? What are the challenges that you face in trying to excite them to stay in Indiana or come back to Indiana?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think it's, you know, when you think about major cities like New York, you think about Los Angeles, you think about Chicago, I'd throw Atlanta in there too. There are a number of friends that have headed there. There is a, it's like the biggest smallest town complex for us, right? So while, you know, you may be able to go to Atlanta or New York and it may seem like it's great, you know, from a standpoint of the grass is greener. Here in Indiana, I mean, you can get things done. You can make an impact really quickly in a way that you're not going to be able to do there. Again, I mean, I love New York. I love LA. But I mean, you are one of a million. Well, one of many millions there. Here, I mean, if you have a specific expertise, you know, a specific passion, you can get that off the ground quickly. I mean, I've seen that with hashtag Lunchbag. I've seen that with some of the consulting that I'm doing on the side. Like it is a space where you can quickly make an impact. But I mean, some of those challenges, I mean, are certainly opportunity, you know, from a standpoint of, let me go back real quick. I mean, we've been called the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. I don't know if you all have heard that.
No, not yet.
That's not quite.
I think we're trying to get there. It's like Mean Girls and Fetch. Like we're trying to make things happen.
It's not a thing. Greg, I think we could do it. Okay.
But you know, those jobs that are, really targeted towards young people. I mean, we're certainly on the way, but when you think about a New York or an LA, just from a standpoint of the culture that's created, I mean, we've got a ways to go, but, again, I will always lean on the fact that, you know, if you want to make an impact, if you want to drive change, this is certainly a place where you can do it. And you'll certainly find other people that'll be on board with that for sure.
That's really cool. When you said that, that's the first time I had really ever thought of that related to Indiana, that you can make a bigger impact there. And that's,
you can.
No, you're almost convincing me to move.
Come on back.
Comedy club there, Janice. Let's bring production.
You're in Indianapolis. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great things happening. I mean, on Valpo, I mean, there's in the North, there's a lot of stuff happening. And I think it's being driven by young people who are like, hey, we want a little bit more from here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you see the beer scene and, you know, creative arts. I don't know. There's a lot of great things happening. So I get it. I'm there for it. I mean, I'm going to come back to my house here in Chicago, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to visit. I'm going to participate. I'll spend my money there. Now my family's all there. So I'm in Indiana a lot.
Yeah. As am I. It's, you know, it's a great place. We'd still love it.
Well, we got
was that convincing enough? She was like, her body contorted. What is going on? We admit that's the whole point of this podcast. We admit, like, you know, we're going to defend it because it's ours, but we always say it's like our like drunk uncle. Like, you can't make fun of him. Like, we can, though, right? Right.
Right.
But if you do, you're crossing a line. So, so it's always a thing. But no, I do think about that. I do think about that, the brain drain and like kind of people getting educated here, then leaving. Or it's like, is there even enough here and how to kind of keep the economy going, where there is actually enough in where you're from. Like, can you shop there? Can you be entertained there? Can you work there?
Right. And I think, you've got to work towards that. Right. I mean, that isn't, I think we do a good job of promoting that, but I mean, I think there's a little bit of work that you have to do as a citizen of Indiana to find those places, to find those opportunities in a way where, you know, if you're in Chicago, you walk down the street and it's like, boom, like, here's the fun. I think we try to do a good job
here's the one. That's
coming
boom,
to. There's the fun.
Right here. Just right here on the right. Corner. I love
tripping
it.
Over it.
I know. I'm like, right. Here for it. Yeah.
But I mean, it just takes a little bit of work. And I think we're certainly getting better. COVID has obviously thrown a lot of that off, but, I think it's just a part of being a role of a citizen in like Indianapolis and Indiana, really. I mean, you just got to put a little extra effort in. And you'll certainly find those spaces and places to find your way.
There we go. I do have to say this in our last episode, with Erica Ridley, who's a romance author from Indiana. Fabulous.
Let's not go down that road with me. This is
we're going there.
Greg, so Janice and I were trying to find romance in Indiana. We loosely found it. I don't know if it was our best effort, but we tried. But we did decide that Indiana, and we're trying to start a whole movement,
right,
is the bromance capital of the United States.
Have you heard that, Greg? Have you heard that? Let's hashtag.
I've certainly heard Silicon Valley of the Midwest, but I have not heard bromance capital. Shout out to the bros, though.
Yeah. Think about it. All the sports, all the beer. I've got good ideas. Who do we know at the Indiana Tourism Department? Who do we get in touch with? I'm sure Greg knows this person.
We can make some calls. Right. We can make some calls.
I really want to coin it the bromance capital of the U.S.
The bros are definitely out. I was lucky enough to play as the greatest returning in the world in college, Cap Alpha Psi. So I've spent time being a bro. I think like the black bros are a little different from the white bros in a certain sense from a fraternity standpoint. We don't have to get into all that.
There's a spectrum of bros.
There's a spectrum of bros.
A bro spectrum.
I would say that. I mean, we certainly here's a follow-up question to that. When you say bromance, what do we mean by bromance?
Okay, all right. So you took it to a more youthful definition.
Yeah, we were going old, like boomer.
We were like a couple of middle-aged dudes could really great
weekend.
Romantic weekend.
I mean,
this is a tourism opportunity for this. I don't know. I'm not going to try to sell this anymore, Janice.
No, okay. I'm here. I mean, we have it. We have car racing. You got basketball, and you have beer.
Yeah,
I mean, one more thing with B, and then we got alliteration.
Pork. Doesn't start with B, but
it's close enough. We have pork. There's corn. No, but seriously, we're thinking about that. It would be a good. I don't know. We're working on it.
I mean, I've certainly done like a Saturday trip to Fisher's, and done like Top Golf, and then you do cigars at Havana, and then you go to 1933 Lounge. Yeah. Here we go. And I've always been with more seasoned people when I do that. So,
the seasoning's making me die. I love it. I don't want to forget to ask you this because this has been great. But just to circle back, you talk a lot about community and a lot about, just getting involved. What do you see as like the biggest kind of issue facing your like immediate area right now? Where are you to say Indianapolis and in general, and kind of where do you think people should put their efforts? Like if they're like, hey, I got a couple hours a month, like volunteering or certain, is there certain causes that are being neglected?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of a specific cause, I mean, I can certainly, shameless plug like food insecurity and homelessness, but you know, I think at a larger level, we saw this all last year, sort of this awakening from a diversity and equity standpoint. And I think it's about providing that space for people in a way that it really hasn't. I mean, that's certainly something that I've seen from a number of my friends who have reached out, like, man, how do I help or how do I get involved? And, you know, I think providing a more inclusive space for people who haven't normally been those traditional leaders is really important. So however people do that, I think that's incredibly important right now. Again, I think there's certainly some specific things as it relates to, you know, economy and whatnot. But I think at a large level right now, inclusion, diversity and equity are three major pieces for me that I see as it relates to just opportunity. I mean, if you extend the umbrella out a bit more, I mean, you get, you know, some unique perspectives that you may not have had. And I think that's certainly going to show some dividends down the line.
That's the thing. That's it in a nutshell. It's like getting more people at the table to talk about these problems.
I ask two questions to every guest that joins us. Okay. The first question is, what's your favorite thing about the state of Indiana?
Favorite thing about the state of Indiana? I'm a big relationship person, so it's always been, you know, my network of friends. And I think even with that, right, it's the transactional friends and then you have your genuine friends. But I've got some genuine friends who one, hold me accountable, and two, have, you know, provided perspective and, you know, jokes that have been good throughout the year. So really just, you know, my friends are the thing that keep me here, that keep me inspired. I would say that. Is that a solid answer?
You know, anything you answer is a solid answer. You could have said you could have said a corn on the cob and that would
We were there for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Would that help with defending Indiana talking about corn? Because everyone thinks
apparently there's a lot of corn.
It's nothing but corn. You know, so much corn.
I know. But Denise and I have found many ways to work corn in so that it actually is a defense of Indiana.
There you go.
Or at least we feel like perhaps. I mean, it's not as good as the bromance capital of the world.
Bromance. Hashtag, I'm telling everybody after this, I'm going to put it on my Instagram and just ask, like, how do we feel about being called the bromance capital?
Right here, people.
Right. You heard it here first.
A trend. Okay. And then my second question is, if you could change one thing about Indiana, what would you change?
I feel like I just keep hitting the same points, but diversity. Like I go to LA and you will go to dinner with a group of friends and you just see all these different cultures around here in Indiana for so long, up until probably last summer. Diversity was, hey, we got three or four black people in a room of 25. And like that was socially acceptable in a sense. So I just imagine what it would look like to just have, you know, more people at that table, that figurative table. Because I know that it's paid huge dividends for me just in terms of my, you know, my empathy for issues, but also my awareness of the possibilities that people have. You know, I think when we think about diversity, it's always like let's help the marginalized community. But it's like, no, like there are incredible possibilities that these people have. And again, I hate that I just keep piggybacking on that, but it's true. I mean, I think if there were, you know, more people at the table, things would be a lot different, a lot more interesting. Because again, I've been afforded the opportunities to travel really all around the globe. And I know that it's been great for me, whether that was, you know, losing my phone in Bangkok or, you know, doing my cultural stuff in Los Angeles. So that would be the thing for me. I would love to see more of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, we would too.
I mean, yeah, we would too. Right. Because it kind of starts from there. Right. And then you can make real change when you have a variety of opinions and feedback. Definitely. And experiences all working together.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Well, I don't know if we solved any problems, because just newsflash, Greg, Janice and I don't typically solve problems.
We just bring them up, kick them around for a little bit.
Right.
And then hope somebody's listening and they can solve them for us.
Right, exactly.
That's our laissez-faire of handling problem.
I'll take that one. I'll take that one. All right. I got you. Well,
thank you so much for joining us today. You've given us a lot of great information about what's going on in Indiana. I love what you had to say about opportunity and what a great opportunity it is for people to be there because you can make a bigger impact. And Greg Stowers, it's just been a delight having you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Defending Indiana, featuring Colleen Brennan and Janice Rodriguez, is produced by Colleen Brennan and Janice Rodriguez. Theme music and sound editing by Michael Miltenberger. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to Defending Indiana wherever you find your favorite podcasts.